Psalms 133 and verse 1 says this, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." That's a true statement. That's an accurate statement. This is also true. No relationship continues very long without the need of forgiveness. And let me tell you why. Moving parts develop friction. Our guide tonight at the beginning is from the book of Acts. The church in Acts was a very powerful church. It was a good church. It was a godly church. They were changing their world. But that church path was littered with conflict and disagreement and discord. In Acts 5, there was hypocrisy resulting in divine discipline. God killed two individuals in the church for lying to the Holy Spirit, okay? In Acts 6, there was unfair treatment of the needy. In Acts chapter 9, resistance to allow Paul, who was a recent convert, to minister. In Acts chapter 11, legalism rears its ugly head. In Acts 15, there were some doctrinal disagreements between Paul and others. And then Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement that the Bible says was very, very strident. So what causes fellowship to break down in a wonderful church doing the will of God, very active? What causes that? What causes people to pull away and isolate themselves? Well, I have some thoughts. First of all, extreme suffering will do that. Given enough pain, most of us will seek to be alone. I'm just telling you, this is for me. You might not be like this, but I am. If I'm not feeling good, if I'm sick, pray for me, but just leave me alone. I don't want people coming and visit me and, you know, all of that. That's just me. I just want to be left alone. We can be so bruised and broken within that we just want to be by ourselves. There was a poll taken when I was in Bible college. This is a group of young people, a group of kids who had been saved studying for the ministry. 75% of that class said that 30% of the time in their life, they just wanted to be left alone. Just leave me alone. I want us to take a look at our Savior in Gethsemane and see if you can pick up on that in this portion of Scripture. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And we'll begin reading in verse 36. Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. The Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My spirit is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, Peter, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, and he prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and he saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. The hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. At one point in the Garden of Gethsemane, he needed their help. He said, I want you to pray for me. And then when they did not, all he wanted was to be left alone. Just stay here. I'll go and do what I need to do. In Gethsemane, he was under a tremendous amount of pain for what was ahead for him. And sometimes that pain causes us just to want to be left alone. Okay? Let me tell you something else that will cause that. Fatigue. Just being dog tired will do that. We are living in a day of pressure and high stress and constant demands. More and more people are dropping through the cracks as victims of burnout and fatigue. They're burning their candle at both ends. They have fallen victim to what many people call the tyranny of the urgent. Dear old Elijah would say, Amen, I know what you're talking about. He had prayed, he had prophesied, he had fought, he had preached, he had suffered, he had confronted the king, he had mocked the false prophets, and suddenly his equilibrium snapped, and he stumbles into the wilderness and begs God just to take his life. It wasn't, Lord, I just want to be left alone. It's, God, why don't you just take me home? I'm tired of it all. He was not only finished, but he was absolutely famished as well. And it's so beautiful how God dealt with him. You know the story. There was no guilt trip. There was no long sermon, not even a frown or a threat. With divine compassion, God allowed him time to recover. One of the very nice things he did, he catered a meal for him. You remember that? Yeah, okay. Third, when there's trouble at home, we tend to pull back. Shame is often added to pain when trouble at home occurs. When one of our kids have gone bad, when there's domestic conflicts, when there's financial reverses. And as a pastor, I have dealt with this many, many times. Should I intrude into their life uninvited, or should I stay out? You know what I found, folks? Both have backfired on me. Let me just say this. You need to really pray and get answered prayer before you go uninvited into a situation like that. You need to spend a great deal of time in prayer. Fourth, when there's friction between two or more individuals, go with me to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. And look at verse 19. The Bible says a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Thick, rusty, foreboding bars that say, stay away. And when people get to that place, a lot of times they walk away and they live their life in quiet desperation. And then fifth, when there's open disobedience against God, that affects all of us. Somebody pulls away. Let me give you a classic example, and that is with AI and the Hebrew children. This will take place after Jericho. Jericho was a great victory, a wonderful thing for the Israelites. And then something happens. Go with me to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7, and let's read verses 2 through 5. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Sebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Let's take this in several stages. First of all, stage one is this. Something's wrong. Something's not right here. Jericho was wonderful, and now there's just a few people in Ai. Something is wrong, and there's a breakdown in their normal routine, and there is a loss of morale with the people in relationships. When this happens, the people no longer come around. There's an awkwardness. There's no sense of humor when you're speaking with them. Okay. Now there's stage two. What in the world happened? Let's go back to chapter 7, pick up the story in verse 6. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned. So stage two, what has happened? There's confusion, and then there's counsel from God. Get off your face, Israel has sinned. We've got to deal with this. So stage three is this. Who is involved? Who caused this? Look at verse 20. And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done." There's confrontation. And the confrontation is not going to end well. Sometimes it does, sometimes it does not. Stage four is, what's needed? What in the world do we do? Verses 25 and verse 26. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us?" He's talking to Achan. "The Lord shall trouble thee this day, and all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire, them, it's his wife and kids, after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day." What is needed here? Discipline is needed. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that God has given to the local church is church discipline. When things are wrong, when there is a moral disobedience in the house of God, it has to be dealt with. And we have had to do that several times since I've been pastor of the church. And it's difficult because you're dealing with people's lives. You're dealing with families. But it has to be done. It has to be dealt with. And we have done that. So how does this apply to me? If my fellowship breaks down and it is a result of open disobedience against God, it will not heal itself. We have to get involved in that. Second of all, the longer the breakdown, the greater the impact. So you have to start now. Start today. And then third, solutions will be initially painful, but ultimately, it will be rewarding because we're obedient to the Word of God, so we can't quit doing that. Okay? Let's pray. Father, once again, we are simply amazed when it comes to the clear teaching from the Word of God. We just ask, dear Father, that you might speak to our hearts this evening from your Word, from this simple lesson. In the Bible. Father, thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for your Son being the shepherd of this church. And we're just grateful that he leads us, that he guides us. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.